Jesus also is our expiation. What I hate about some English translations, seventh point, they confuse propitiation and expiation. They're both wonderful, but they're different. Propitiation is where the wrath of God is diverted from me. Expiation is my cleansing from sin. Okay, let me give you another insight on the gospel here. I really like the gospel. I would encourage you to preach it all the time. It's the best thing in the world. And when we talk about expiation, here's what we're dealing with. How many of you have not only sinned, but been sinned against? See, the problem with the traditional gospel, well, again, the problem with an incomplete gospel is if you're a sinner, confess your sins to God and He will forgive you. I totally believe that. That's substitutionary atonement. But what if you've been sinned against? What if you've been raped, as a third of the women in my church have been? What if you've been molested? What do you do? Do you go to God and say, God, I confess the fact I was raped. Please forgive me for being raped? How does that gospel work? People come to your church every week. Some of them will be ready to confess their sins, but some of them are more familiar with sins that are committed against them, and that may be the place that the gospel begins. And here's what happens. I'll read you the verse. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the cross, what? Purifies or cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Sin in the Bible is connected with defilement, right? When you read the Old Testament, you hear words like defile, defilement, ritual cleansing, ceremonial washing, housekeeping. What is all of that? It's showing that sin is filthy. It's dirty. It defiles us. There are people in the Bible who are considered defiled. They're made dirty. How do they get clean? Talk to a rape victim. I said, what did you do after you were raped? She said, I took a shower. I said, why? She said, I felt dirty. This was her word. I felt dirty to my soul. That's defilement. She's been defiled. She's been made unclean. There was one girl in our church. She had been raped repeatedly as a little girl by older men, uncles, grandfathers, and such. She got fired from a job working at a hardware store for having sex with five young men at one time on a break at the job. I asked her, I said, why did you do that? She said, when I was little, my uncles, my grandpas would tell me, you're a dirty little girl, so you do dirty little things. She said, so I am a dirty girl, and because I'm a dirty girl, I do dirty things. I said, man, you need to understand the doctrine of expiation. Jesus will enable you not to be a dirty girl, and you don't need to continue doing dirty things. How many people are working out of identity that's not what they've done, but what's been done against them, not what Jesus has done for them? It's all identity issues. And what happens is people become defiled. Their bodies become defiled. Places become defiled. I talked to one young woman. When she started developing in her teen years, she would go to bed, and her dad would crawl into bed, read her Bible stories, and then molest her. Fondle her. And he would masturbate in her bed, and then he would tell her, I'm your father, you're supposed to submit to your father, don't tell anybody, the Bible says to obey your daddy. And this little girl was told to sleep in her bed with her father's semen all the time. I asked her, I said, when you were a little girl, what did you do? She said, when he would leave, I would get out of my bed, and I would crawl under the bed, and I would sleep on the floor. I said, why? She said, the bed was dirty. She got married, and every time her husband climbed into bed, she just had a panic attack. He said, I don't know why. I love her. You know, I'm kind to her. I don't understand. We got this story out of her. This was her childhood by her quote-unquote Christian father. So being in bed with a man for her was defiled because she was defiled. This is a huge issue. Depression, medication, suicide, kids who cut themselves, they're all crying out for the cross. The doctrine of expiation is shown for us in the second goat on the day of Yom Kippur atonement. The first goat was the sacrificial goat. What was the second goat? Scapegoat. Sins confessed but not slaughtered, sent free. The sin was laid on the animal and it was taken away. Well, the sin was laid on Jesus, and on the cross, He took it away. So now we're not defined by what we've done or what's been done against us, but why Jesus has done for us on the cross. And the blood of Jesus, 1 John 1 says, cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. That's why in the Bible, what color do God's people often wear? What color are the worshipers around the throne of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain, back to the cross? In Revelation, those who gather around the throne, what color do the worshipers wear? White. It says white linen was given the bride of Christ, the church, to wear. Why? Expiation. She's clean. Tell you one last story on this expiation doctrine. I think it's very important, completely overlooked. Those who confuse propitiation and expiation, they miss the great gospel opportunity. And those translations who put expiation in where propitiation should be, they really do great injustice. But this friend of mine, he was married to this woman. They had had some marital difficulties. They loved each other. She finally, after some years of marriage, confessed to him her deep, dark secret, that she had been very promiscuous as a young woman. She had committed adultery as a single woman with married men, that she had been molested and abused by relatives, and that when they were engaged, she was sexually active with another man and lied to him and never told him because she knew he would not marry her. This has affected their marriage for years because there was distance, there was sin between them. And she finally came clean and told her husband, "I cheated on you when we were engaged. I had sex with another man. I did sexual favors for him." And this man, to his credit, he really understood the gospel. He did one of the most beautiful things. He left. She's, of course, worried. And he comes back and he asks her to undress. And he takes out of a box a brand new white nightgown and puts it on her and says, "I see you through the cross. I see you through what Jesus did." People teach others now on marriage. Not because they're highly trained psychologists, but because they understand the gospel. That when he looks at his wife, he needs to see her in white because that's what Jesus has given her to wear through the expiating work of the cross. And he says, "From now on, you see yourself clothed in white. I see you clothed in white. Jesus has clothed you in white. Your sins have been expiated." This doctrine is hugely important. How many people, their whole life would change if they understood that they could be clean? They don't need to manage, deal with, deny, blame shift sin that's been committed against them. They don't need to say things like, "I'm fine, it doesn't really bother me." They could actually accept sin that's been committed against them and understand the expiating work of Jesus.